Haskell, July 1902. Dear Brother Haskell, I know that the Lord designed that Elder Frankie should stand in his lot and place, speaking to large congregations. Then, when an interest is awakened, many would be benefited by the work that you can do. No one is to seek to close up the way that the Lord has committed to Elder Frankie, or the work that he has committed to Elder Haskell. I have written Elder Frankie several straight letters, cautioning him against extravagance in the outlay of means. He has not yet replied to them. I am anxious to hear from him. I should like to know what he is doing. Brother Haskell, you cannot do the work necessary to be done to obtain a large attendance. God sent Elder Frankie to do that which you cannot do. It was his design that you should blend with Elder Frankie and do the part of the work that he cannot do. I am sorry that you could not do this. It ought to have been done that the strongest possible effort might have been made to awaken an interest in New York. There are many classes of people to reach, and no one is to feel, when another worker is sent to the place where he is working, that he will counterwork what he is doing. Elder Frankie's gifts will be needed in the camp meetings, where he can do a work that God has chosen him to do. God designs that New York shall be stirred. He has a message for this wicked city. We know not what he will do to arouse it, but he will provide means. He knows what is best. Human judgment often makes mistakes, but the Lord Jesus never makes a mistake. I have faith that the loud cry is to be heard in Greater New York. The workers in New York must act their several parts, making every effort to bring the best results. They are to talk faith and present the truth in such a way that it will impress the people. They are not to narrow the work down to their own particular ideas. In the past, too much of this has been done by us as a people, and it has been a drawback to the success of the work. Everywhere we go, we meet the inclination to make this mistake. Let us remember that God has different ways of working, that He has different workmen to whom He entrusts different gifts. We are to see His purpose in sending certain men to certain places. God desires to use such gifts as Elder Frankie has in arousing the cities. There are in these cities those who can be aroused by no ordinary methods. We are to stand by one another, helping and encouraging one another, showing special interest in our fellow workers, even though they do not in every particular meet our ideas. It may be that those whom we think deficient can do a work that we cannot in reaching certain classes of people. There are those who would never be led to take an interest in the truth for this time, except by such efforts as those that Elder Frankie puts forth. At times the Lord has given Elder Frankie His Spirit in great power, and before thousands, He has borne witness to the truth in a way that has shown the folly of the theories taught by ministers who refuse to believe present truth. Brother and Sister Haskell, come near to Brother Frankie. Be a father to him. Always treat him kindly, whatever mistakes he may make. This is the only way to help him. Do nothing to hedge up his way. The words, "forbid him not," mean all that they say. Mark 9, verse 39. Deal with Elder Frankie in the love of God. We are the Lord's, and we are to allow ourselves to be worked by him. We are to encourage and strengthen those upon whom the Lord has laid a burden, even though they sometimes seem to be unreasonable. Elder Frankie has grievous temptations, and we should consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. God wants us to help one another by the manifestation of sympathy and unselfish love. There are those who have inherited peculiar tempers and dispositions. They may be hard to deal with, but are we faultless? They are not to be disparaged. Their errors are not to be made common property. Christ pities and helps those who err in judgment. He has suffered death for every man, and because of this, He has a touching and profound interest in every man. A man may be trying to serve God, but temptations from within and from without assail him. Satan and his angels urge and coax him to transgress, and perhaps he falls a prey to their temptings. How then do his brethren treat him? Do they speak harsh, cutting words, driving him further from the Savior? What a sad sight for Christ and the angels to behold! Let us remember that we are struggling and toiling, failing in speech and action to represent Christ, falling and rising again, despairing and hoping. Let us beware of dealing unkindly with those who, like ourselves, are subject to temptation, and who, like ourselves also, are the objects of Christ's unchanging love.